Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 26, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The whistleblower complaint at the heart of impeachment proceedings takes center stage on Capitol Hill.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson remains defiant, insisting on no changes to his Brexit policy.
And a trade dispute between the U.S. and Europe threatens business at Boeing and Airbus.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi might narrow the scope of the impeachment inquiry to the Ukraine controversy, plus the Port Authority votes today to raise tolls. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankee bats were quiet again in a 4-0 loss at Tampa Bay. The Mets beat Miami but were eliminated from making the postseason.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Clients can earn 1.63% on idle cash in their brokerage account. Restrictions apply. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And U.S. futures higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany's up 0.4%. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32, yield 1.70%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3%, up 20 cents at $56.69 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.40 at $15.1470 an ounce. The euro 1.0936 against the dollar, yen 107.62. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest on the Democratic push to impeach President Trump, with the president holding a press conference to tell the public he did nothing wrong.
The witch hunt continues, but they're getting hit hard on this witch hunt because when they look at the information, it's a joke. Impeachment for that? When you have a wonderful meeting or you have a wonderful phone conversation?
At the news conference, President Trump declined to answer questions about whether it was improper to seek information on a political rival from a foreign leader.
Following those remarks, lawmakers read the whistleblower complaint that helped lead to calls for impeachment. Adam Schiff is chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
I had the opportunity, as have members of the committee, to read the whistleblower complaint. I found the allegations deeply disturbing. I also found them very credible.
Up next, Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire testifies before the House regarding that whistleblower complaint. His testimony begins around 9 a.m. Wall Street time, and we bring it to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And now the question for investors, how do you trade the prospect of impeachment? For many, it's an effort in futility. Michael Purvis is CEO at Talbach and Capital Advisors.
You can't trade this stuff right now. It's impossible. There's so many different scenarios. You know, does this support Biden? Does this hurt Biden? Does this support Warren? If momentum keeps building, what happens to Trump if impeachment goes through? Is it ever going to become a reality with the Senate being in Republican control, right? There's so many different scenarios, you almost have to just sort of ignore it and keep just investing the way you would.
At the moment, there appears to be little consensus on how the political ramifications could play out.
Politics is also front and center in the UK, with Boris Johnson sparking an uproar in Parliament as lawmakers return to Westminster. The Prime Minister insists on making no changes to his Brexit policy. And we get the very latest from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London.
This was not a Prime Minister showing any signs of remorse or regret, despite suffering one of the worst series of defeats faced by any British leader in modern times. In language that some MPs described as dangerous, he attacked the opposition for not backing a process leading to an election and facing, as he put it, their day of reckoning with voters. Johnson also talked up the prospects of getting a deal in talks with his EU partners, but the European Commission says his latest ideas for sorting out the post-Brexit Irish border are still not acceptable. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Geopolitics is also on the front burner today as a trade dispute between the U.S. and Europe comes into focus. Bloomberg News has learned the World Trade Organization will authorize the U.S. to impose tariffs on nearly $8 billion in European goods due to illegal state aid provided to Airbus. Joining us now with the details is Bloomberg's Ewan Potts live in our London bureau. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Another front on the trade war. US tariffs will target European planes and aircraft parts, as well as luxury products from labels like Givenchy and Louis Vuitton. The duties mark an escalation in the long-running dispute between the US and the European Union over aircraft manufacturing subsidies. The tariffs could hit as soon as next week. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Meanwhile, the U.S. and Japan have inked a limited trade deal focused on farm duties and digital commerce. The agreement also repeals the threat of U.S. tariffs on Japanese cars. We get more from Bloomberg's Chris Anstey in Tokyo.
There's likely to be a sigh of relief here in Tokyo this morning because the threat of auto tariffs had been hanging over Japan. So the fact that they've got this interim deal is a significant achievement.
Presidents Donald Trump and Shinzo Abe signed the first stage of a trade agreement, with President Trump saying they'll have a final comprehensive deal in the near future.
All right, turning to corporate news now. SoftBank is reportedly in talks to increase its investment in WeWork. According to the Financial Times, the Japanese company is discussing whether to increase a $1.5 billion pledge made to WeWork. A revised deal would have SoftBank investing at least $2.5 billion in the company at a reduced price per share.
Peloton has raised nearly $1.2 billion in its initial public offering. The fitness company priced the IPO at the top of its targeted range, selling 40 million shares at $29 apiece. And tune in for an interview with the CEO of Peloton later today in the 2 p.m. hour on Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly.
Facebook has defeated a lawsuit over the Cambridge Analytica data scandal. A judge threw out a case seeking damages tied to the decline in Facebook stock.
At the same time, sources tell us the Justice Department intends to investigate Facebook over antitrust concerns. That's in addition to a similar inquiry the social network faces from the Federal Trade Commission. Shares of Facebook are down 1% in early trading.
And in Amsterdam, shares of ABN AMRO are down nearly 10% after Dutch authorities opened a money laundering investigation into the bank. Prosecutors say ABN AMRO failed to report suspicious transactions and didn't conduct sufficient checks on its clients.
And S&P futures higher, up 4.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 48. NASDAQ futures up 6. The 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 1.70%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:07 is the time now on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. This just in, according to French media, former French President Jacques Chirac has died. Chirac served as the Prime Minister of France from 74 to 76 and from 86 to 1988. Jacques Chirac was 86. House Democrats have lots of questions for Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire today. They are now mulling Trump's impeachment and are now saying that they're hoping McGuire will explain why he withheld the complaint from Congress for weeks. The Democrats are saying that the document is at the center of a firestorm about Trump's handling of Ukraine. Meanwhile, we're already hearing from a Democratic leadership official that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi might narrow the scope of the impeachment inquiry. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Initially, Pelosi suggested the impeachment probe would proceed as a sort of catch-all of the various investigations already underway.
I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella.
Now she's said to be weighing suggestions from her members to limit the focus to Trump's interactions with Ukraine. Michigan's Alyssa Slotkin, previously a CIA analyst and defense official, worries about muddying the message.
Some of the messaging that we've done around the general swirl of impeachment has not always conveyed a clear strategic message.
Slotkin says Trump trying to get a foreign leader to dig up dirt on rival Joe Biden and his son is a story of wrongdoing people can understand. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Iran's President Hassan Rouhani in Manhattan for the UN General Assembly was asked whether Iran was behind the attack on the Saudi Arabian oil facilities earlier this month. Rouhani told ABC through a translator that other countries don't believe it's Yemen because they lack sophisticated enough capabilities, but that is faulty logic.
How much do you really know of the Yemeni capabilities on the ground? And then why is it that you cannot prove, show evidence where this attack originated from?
The House passed a bill that would grant legal marijuana businesses access to banking, a measure that would clear up a long-standing headache for the industry. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania's governor is now pushing for the legalization of adult use of marijuana after the state's lieutenant governor conducted a 67-county statewide listening tour on the controversial issue. Democratic Governor Tom Wolf.
I have said in the past that I wasn't sure Pennsylvania was ready for this. I believe on the basis of what the lieutenant governor did, that Pennsylvania is ready for this.
The Port Authority votes today in New Jersey on a measure to raise tolls and fares at tunnels, bridges, and airports. According to the plan, tolls would increase at bridges and tunnels from $15 to $16. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, the Mets were going to need some help if they were going to make it to the baseball postseason, and the Brewers did not give it to them. Red-hot Milwaukee won again last night, nailed down the last National League spot. There were bright spots for the Mets this season, and they were on display in a 10-3 rout in Miami. Pete Alonso is Major League leading 51st home run. Mets have themselves a young star who's impressive on the field and off. And they have Jacob deGrom, who won the Cy Young Award last season. And if manager Mickey Callaway has his way, deGrom will win it again.
You know, when he came off the mound after the seventh inning, 23 scoreless innings, I think, to finish the year. You know, I've looked at the numbers. I don't see how it can go any other way. Man, was he good again. It's unbelievable.
Another bright spot was Jeff McNeil, batted .318, 23 home runs, but he broke his hand last night, so his season's over. Charlie Morton, outstanding for Tampa Bay, held the Yankees to one hit. The Rays helped their playoff hopes with a 4-0 win in 21 innings in the series. Yanks scored only one run. They're almost certainly going to face Minnesota in the ALDS starting a week from tomorrow at the stadium. The Twins just clinched the AL Central. Houston would then face the wild card winner. Astros are going to be tough to beat. Two aces, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole, 39 wins and over 600 strikeouts between them. And last night, Zach Greinke was two outs away from a no-hitter before losing that in Seattle. NFL Week 4 kicks off tonight. Green Bay hosting Philadelphia. Packers are 3-0. The Giants will host Washington Sunday. They likely will not have a key defender. Linebacker Alec Ogletree has an injured hamstring. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Futures are higher. This is Bloomberg. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen. They solve. They do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are higher with Asian stocks, while European shares jump as investors await the next developments in a week dominated by trade confusion and political drama. And a sign of the mixed sentiment, treasuries are also climbing, continuing a choppy few days. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 59, NASDAQ futures up 10, the DAX in Germany's up 0.5%, 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.70%, yield on the 2-year 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 15 cents to $56.64 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $2.10 to $15.14.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0930 against the dollar, British pound 1.2313, and the yen at 107.61. And today we are watching for a report on second quarter gross domestic product at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims and wholesale inventories. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, and at 10, pending home sales. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a House committee will hear publicly from the acting director of National Intelligence about a secret whistleblower complaint involving President Donald Trump. Joseph McGuire is set to testify this morning at 9 a.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg will bring it to you live. Former French President Jacques Chirac has died, according to his son-in-law. Chirac was 86. In baseball, the Mets beat the Marlins 10-3, but they were eliminated from the playoffs because the Brewers won. The Yankees lost. The Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants won. The Orioles lost. Week 4 of the NFL starts tonight. The Packers host the Eagles. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Paul Dobson is with us now, Managing Editor for Global Bonds and FX for Bloomberg News. Uncertain times indeed, Paul, whether you think of now impeachment risk and Brexit and the trade dispute with China. Where do you see markets going at this point?
Well, it's the question that everybody's asking themselves. But we have a story out today that, you know, sort of describes it, even in the headline, as trading all of this political risk is mission impossible for Wall Street. You know, there's so many potential scenarios, so many permutations, so many implications. It's very difficult for investors to puzzle through everything that's going on. And maybe the best tack is to try to block out as much of the noise as possible, to try to put your hands over your ears over the impeachment, over the Brexit, over the trade talks. You know, stick with where you're confident, maybe on the outlook for the economy, maybe, you know, on what you're looking for in the earnings season that's coming up, and stay with it.
Now, it's sort of tough to cut through that noise, though, when it is a lot of the noise itself that is affecting the outlook for the global economy and earnings, particularly when you think about the U.S.-China trade war and how that's been affecting many sectors of the economy, whether it's energy companies, transportation, you name it.
You make a good point, and that's certainly the background noise. I think, you know, the one thing that in my part of markets world, currencies, that people seem to be cottoning onto or latching onto more and more is the idea that whatever happens, it's good for the dollar at the moment. If it's haven bid that you want, the U.S. is a safe place to invest. It's a place that offers you positive yields on deposits or on money markets, as opposed to, you know, Europe or Japan, for example. And you know, there's a lot of cash being sucked home by U.S. investors at the moment, maybe on the trade concerns, maybe on the outlook for the economy, whatever it is. The dollar seems to be, you know, kind of the place to be in currencies right now.
So then, does that come at the expense of other G10 currencies? Do we continue to see divergence between the dollar and the rest of the world?
I don't know whether G10 is definitely the best place to express it, certainly not G3. So if you think about the euro, it's been kind of stuck really around the $1.10 mark for quite a long time now, just kind of bumping along at the bottom of the range. Yen likewise is an awkward one, because that obviously can attract haven bids if you know, things get particularly worrisome for the global economy. And if you think about the pound, that has its own problems as well. But maybe if you look a little bit further down the line, something like the Swedish krona, which everybody seems to love to hate, you know, it's exposed to the trade wars. The prospects for central bank tightening are limited. You know, it already has negative interest rates. Something like that down the bottom of the list of the G10 currencies in terms of size might be where you want to look.
When you talk about sterling, is it possible to cut out the noise when it comes to Brexit and where that could end up? The prospects of a no deal crashing out at the deadline, whether there's going to be a delay. I mean, there seems to be just volatility built into sterling.
Well, you're definitely right on that. I think if you were talking about sterling and saying block out the noise, what you'd want to do is just not trade it at all. And that's what we're hearing a lot of fund managers are doing, avoiding it altogether. Or if you have to do something, look for a cheap way to express one of the more risky outcomes. So we've seen people buying out of the money put options, which means they're betting on a steep drop for sterling. You can still get that reasonably cheap in terms of an insurance or protection against a big volatility event. Likewise, in the rates market, people betting on significant cuts in interest rates by the Bank of England, which would be the kind of response you'd expect if there were a no-deal Brexit. So people tinkering away at the margins, but in terms of spot currency, are just too risky for a lot of the people that we speak to.
About 30 seconds left here. What's the next thing you're looking for in the bond market in Europe? The European Central Bank decision, the last one from Draghi?
Yeah, well, the fourth quarter should be a really good period for European bonds. We've got the ECB QE about to kick in. We have big coupon flows as well. But those yields are still already very low indeed. So, you know, people might look further afield if they feel that they can trust Italy, then maybe you get more compression between Italian yields and German yields. That seems to be one of the favorite trades that people are looking at right now.
Paul Dobson, Managing Editor for Global Bonds and FX at Bloomberg News. As always, thanks for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Great talking to you. S&P futures are higher at the moment by 5 points. Dow futures are up 52 points, and NASDAQ futures are higher by almost 8 points. Price of the 10-year up 10 30 seconds, yield 1.70%. Two-year Treasury yields 1.67%. Coming up to 6:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we will have the very latest on the impeachment proceedings, getting ready for Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire to appear before the House Intelligence Committee. For breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter bring you TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news, verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning as investors weigh the prospects of impeachment for President Trump. For some, trading on the news is an effort in futility. Patrick Armstrong is Chief Investment Officer at Plurimi Wealth.
The impeachment, I think it's a long way off. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns. There's going to be a lot of rhetoric from both sides. But because of the way it works, it's very difficult to get to the math on impeachment, I'd say, right now.
And to remove the president from office, that math would need to include votes from several Republican senators. Tony Rodriguez is head of fixed income at Nuveen Asset Management.
I think it just increases the political risk at the margin. So now we've always been looking at tweets from Trump. There'll be more of them. Now you'll see more leaks from Congress. So any given day, I think that does raise the possibility for a little more volatility in the market. Fundamentally, I don't really think it alters a whole lot around policy or necessarily broader economics.
Up next, Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire testifies before the House regarding the whistleblower complaint that helped lead to calls for impeachment. We'll bring that testimony to you live on Bloomberg Radio at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
A trade dispute between the U.S. and Europe is coming into focus. Bloomberg News has learned the World Trade Organization will authorize the U.S. to impose tariffs on nearly $8 billion of European goods due to illegal state aid provided to Airbus. And Bloomberg's Bryce Bashik reports that Europe is preparing to retaliate.
The European Union may impose tariffs on $4 billion worth of American exports if President Donald Trump moves forward with his plan to penalize European goods next month. The development marks the latest step in a decades-long World Trade Organization dispute over government subsidies for Boeing and Airbus. In Geneva, Bryce Bashik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bryce, thank you. In other news, SoftBank is reportedly in talks to increase its investment in WeWork. According to the Financial Times, the Japanese company is discussing whether to increase a $1.5 billion pledge made to WeWork at a reduced price per share.
And Peloton has raised nearly $1.2 billion in its initial public offering. The fitness company priced the IPO at the top of its targeted range, selling 40 million shares at $29 apiece. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 4.5 points. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures up 6. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 10 30 seconds. Yield 1.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil up 4 tenths. tenths percent or 22 cents at $56.71 a barrel. COMEX gold is up a quarter percent or $4 to $15.1640 an ounce. And the euro 1.0932 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. As the acting director of National Intelligence testifies before the House this morning, Democrats seek more answers surrounding their impeachment inquiry of President Trump. Democrats say the recently released memo of the president's call with the Ukrainian president is far more damning than what they imagined. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the president behaved like a mob boss.
Like any mafia boss, the president didn't need to say, "That's a nice country you have. It'd be a shame if something happened to it," because that was clear from the conversation.
Meanwhile, some Senate Republicans show discomfort with Trump's conversation with Ukraine's president, but say it's not worthy of his removal from office. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina says there was no evidence of any so-called quid pro quo.
There is not one scintilla of evidence that the president threatened the Ukraine with withholding money because they wanted him, the president of Ukraine, to do Trump's political bidding. That did not happen.
Does former Vice President Joe Biden think President Trump should be impeached for asking Ukraine's leader to investigate his family? Biden on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel.
It seems to me it's awful hard to avoid the conclusion that it is an impeachable offense and a violation of constitutional responsibility.
Biden signaled that he would spend the week talking about health care and fundraising. Vaping products are taking a hit in the U.S. as health experts try to determine what's causing a mysterious lung disease. More than 500 people have gotten ill and 9 have died. Former French President Jacques Chirac has died. The two-term French president was the first leader to acknowledge France's role in the Holocaust and defiantly opposed the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. Jacques Chirac was 86. Fares at bridges, tunnels, and airports could rise. The Port Authority in New Jersey votes today on a measure to increase tolls. If approved, tolls at the bridges and tunnels would increase a buck from $15 to $16. Air train fees would rise from $5 to $7.75. The measure would also eliminate some Easy Pass toll discounts for out-of-state drivers. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it was a two-game series where the Yankees wanted to win. They had hopes of overcoming Houston for home field advantage. Those hopes look bleak now. The Rays needed to win. They're in a fight to make it to the wild card game, and Tampa Bay swept. The night after winning 2-1 in 12 innings, they won 4-0. Aaron Boone's team had only one hit.
Well, I mean, this is what they're capable of. I mean, this is a big reason why they're in this position and fighting for a playoff spot, is because they can really pitch, and their run prevention is really good. You know, if you're not really on top of your game up and down the lineup, you know, they can have nights like this, and especially when they, you know, turn to, you know, Charlie, who's been their ace, and he's on top of his game. But no question, these two games, they very much kept us quiet.
Charlie Morton with his 16th win. The Rays and the Oakland A's have the lead for the wild card spots. Minnesota clinched the AL Central, will almost certainly be the Yankees' ALDS opponent. Yanks have won 10 straight postseason games from the Twins. Houston would then face the wild card winner. The Astros won last night in Seattle. Zach Greinke had a no-hitter going with one out in the ninth inning. The Milwaukee Brewers also celebrated last night. They got red hot in September, clinched at least a wild card. They could still win the division. No postseason for the Mets. They did beat Miami 10-3. They were up 9-0 in the third inning. Jacob DeGrom helped his cause for winning a second straight Cy Young Award. Pete Alonso with his major league leading 51st home run needs one more to tie Aaron Judge's record for most by a rookie. NBA training camps haven't opened yet, but new net Kyrie Irving playing a pickup game with his new teammates in Brooklyn, and he got an elbow to his face, which is now fractured. Nets hope he's ready to go for the season opener next month. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Teachers have been using technology since the invention of the blackboard. The digital revolution has accelerated that trend. The market for educational tech in the U.S. and Europe now exceeds $100 billion. Unfortunately, there's little evidence to improve student performance, and too much tech may actually backfire. For example, a 2015 study of 38 countries found that those that made large investments in educational technology showed no appreciable improvements in student achievement. And in the U.S., fourth graders who reported using digital devices in most or all of their classes did worse on reading tests than those who used them less. Of course, schools should be willing to adopt technologies that show promise, such as some personalized learning programs, which have yielded gains for poor students. But until these tools offer clearer and more widespread benefits for students, they should be evaluated with a skeptical eye. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. 6:38 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
As President Trump argues that the state of California shouldn't be able to decide auto emission standards for other states, more states are turning the message right back on Trump. It's not his decision to make. Two Democratic governors have lined up their states to join the 13 others in adopting California's rules, even after the Trump administration moved to nullify state authority on fuel efficiency rules. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz directed his state's environmental agency to begin drafting rules to cut tailpipe emissions and bolster sales of electric cars, with policies patterned after California. Walz told a news conference Trump isn't about to set standards for his state that are less stringent.
It's pretty obvious today amongst all the chaos in the national news that we can't count on Washington to lead, so Minnesota needs to.
Minnesota thus joins with New Mexico in actually expanding the reach of California's vehicle greenhouse gas rules, which already cover more than a third of U.S. auto sales. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Now let's take a look at some of the most active stocks in early trading now. Shares of Facebook are down more than 1%. Bloomberg News has learned the Justice Department intends to investigate Facebook over antitrust concerns. That's in addition to a similar inquiry the social network faces from the Federal Trade Commission. Shares of Frontline are up more than 6%. The Norway company owns oil carriers and tankers. It's getting a boost from U.S. penalties imposed on four Chinese tanker companies for violating Iran sanctions. And Square is higher by almost 2.5% after being upgraded at Wells Fargo. The firm now has an outperform rating with a target price of $80. S&P futures are higher by almost 4 points. And by the way, Bloomberg customers can check out the early equity action in the pre-market by typing most U4GO on the terminal. Dow futures are up 41 points and NASDAQ futures are up 4 points as well. The 10-year is up 11/32nds, yield 1.69%. 2-year Treasury yield 1.67%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is up a tenth of a percent at $56.56 a barrel. This is Bloomberg. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro e-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME mini. And futures this morning are higher. We go to the first word breaking news desk. For today's morning call, here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest gains in the futures right now. With Dow futures up 51 points, S&P's gained 5, and NASDAQ futures climb by 7. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.7%. Gold is up 5. And Shanghai rose 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are also climbing, led by 1% gains in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, GDP, core PCE, trade balance, and initial jobless claims. At 10 o'clock, pending home sales. And at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, Carnival should be out shortly. And in other news, the FT report that WeWork may get another $1 billion from SoftBank. And Macquarie said the match weakness from yesterday is a buying opportunity. Regarding IPOs, Peloton's 40 million shares priced at $29 per share at the top of the range. And wrapping things up, HD Supply was downgraded to equate at Barclays. AbbVie upgraded to buy over at Citigroup. Northern Trust downgraded to neutral at UBS. And Square upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, members of a House committee will today hear from the acting director of national intelligence about an apparent attempt by President Donald Trump to pressure the president of Ukraine to assist in obtaining political information about potential Democratic rival Joe Biden. Joseph McGuire will testify starting at 9 a.m., and Bloomberg will bring it to you live. Jacques Chirac, the French president who led his country into Europe's common currency and spearheaded international opposition to the U.S. invasion of Iraq, has died. Chirac was 86. In baseball, the Mets beat the Marlins 10-3, but they were still eliminated from the playoffs because the Brewers won, the Yankees lost, the Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants won, the Orioles lost. Welcome to Week 4 of NFL action. The Packers host the Eagles tonight. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, the man who invented the Labradoodle crossbreed regrets playing God. Wally Conron paired a Labrador and a poodle when he was tasked with creating a guide dog for a woman whose husband was allergic to long hairs. So when the popularity of the crossbreed skyrocketed, so did the number of unethical breeders. Conron says, I released a Frankenstein's monster.
Well, it's always got to start with one guy, I guess. But Labradoodles are so cute, you know? Check with your breeder. Do your research.
I never heard you talk like this. This is great. I'm impressed.
I've got a lot of them in my neighborhood.
I hear you. I hear
my,
you.
My rescue dog growls at them every day.
Well, I had a lot of dogs that were Frankensteins, too, but that's another story. Global News, 24 hours a day.
You both.
You know, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
I don't know how many breeds are in my dog. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump heading back to Washington, wrapping up his time at the U.N. General Assembly with a fundraiser later today in New York. The Justice Department opening investigation into Facebook under pressure from Attorney General William Barr, and a limited trade agreement now reached between the U.S. and Japan. Also making news in a little more than 2 hours, Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire appears before the House Intelligence Committee as the impeachment inquiry gains steam. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now. Set us up for what we could hear this morning from the DNI, Kate.
Well, I think that both what we hear directly from the DNI and then also what we hear in terms of how Democrats frame their questions is going to be very interesting to watch, specifically because we know that the whistleblower complaint, the declassified version of the whistleblower complaint, has been sent to Capitol Hill. And so lawmakers may have a chance to review that before they ask their questions. And one of the things I'll be looking for is whether any new information comes forward about the whistleblower and the nature of the whistleblower's complaints. This is obviously after we heard, or after we got eyes on the transcript yesterday of the call between Trump and the Ukrainian president. This is obviously kind of the next inflection point and the next big piece of information that's going to be coming forward as Democrats pursue their inquiries of President Trump.
Yeah, it is going to be fascinating to hear, given that from what we understand about the whistleblower complaint, that July 25th phone call, of which we've now read a rough transcript, may have been just one piece of what set red flags off for this whistleblower.
That's right. And so apparently there have been some reports that there were previous calls that were also involved. And so I think that is going to be one of the main areas of focus today, is kind of the scope of this, whether this is all about just one conversation that Trump had in late July or whether it's bigger than that. And certainly the implication is that it's bigger than that. And Trump, for his part, and his supporters are trying to portray this as very narrow in scope and really just concerning one phone call in which they say that there was clearly no explicit quid pro quo. However, if you do look at the transcript itself, it does reference on Trump's part, you know, subsequent conversations that he wanted for the Ukrainian president to have with the attorney general and also with Rudy Giuliani, his personal lawyer. And so I think that begs the question of, did those conversations occur, and what, if anything, was said in those conversations regarding Joe Biden and any type of quid pro quo that may occur in those may have occurred in those conversations.
It'll make you say quid pro quo. quo about 15 more times. Yeah, but we're going to have to, unfortunately, because, you know, even with no direct evidence of an exchange of favors suggested, you know, the word favor does appear in this rough transcript. And that seems to be at least something that Democrats are hanging their hats on, saying, you know, this is improper conduct that goes beyond the pale for a president.
Absolutely. I mean, I think on Democrats' parts, they obviously are interested in finding out the context of this and what the bigger picture looks like, including, you know, we do know that Trump had conversations and wanted and did delay aid to Ukraine, you know, in the days before this call occurred, which is important context here. But Democrats are saying just on its face, if you look at what Trump said in the rough transcript we saw yesterday, they're saying that that's inappropriate conduct for a sitting president, that a president shouldn't be going to the head of a foreign government and essentially asking them to look into his political opponent, and that that on its face is wrong. And it's important to keep in mind that just because it's illegal or just because it's not illegal, which is certainly the Justice Department's contention that no laws were broken here, that doesn't mean that it's not an impeachable offense. There's a potentially higher standard that the House can hold the president to than just what the law says.
And at the same time, the Republicans are arguing that under the Constitution, you know, president has to be convicted by the Senate of high crimes and misdemeanors in order to be removed from office. Whether conduct rises to that that level, I guess, is going to be the crucial question to be answered here.
It certainly will be the crucial question. I mean, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, so I don't know where that comes down. But I think that my sense is that, you know, the Senate would have a pretty wide latitude. And now, of course, the Senate's controlled by Republicans. And so I think that that is important to bear in mind. And so far, we've seen Republicans sticking pretty close to President Trump. But I think that is partly because of where the public has been in terms of the polling on this issue. And if we start seeing polling suggesting that this issue is resonating with the public and that the public sentiment is moving against Donald Trump on this matter, then I would expect to see Republicans begin to shift their allegiance as well.
It is going to be fascinating to watch and listen to, again, as Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire appears before the House Intelligence Committee, now engaged in a formal impeachment investigation against President Trump. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. And a reminder that we will begin live coverage of Acting DNI McGuire's testimony on Capitol Hill. It begins around 9 a.m. Wall Street time. It's just before 6:56 on Wall Street Now.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Netflix lands Seinfeld and its stock price takes a hit. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Fresh off its costly deal for the exclusive streaming rights to the sitcom Seinfeld, shares of Netflix officially entered negative territory for the year. That's as HBO's parent, AT&T, Disney, and other old world media giants surge this year. The pressure on Netflix's stock is a harbinger of the intense competition that the streaming pioneer soon faces. The Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus streaming apps both launch in November, followed by AT&T's HBO Max and the Peacock service from Comcast next year. For Netflix, there's both the threat of losing customers to these new services and the need to keep spending a lot of money to prevent that from happening. It's about to go up against companies with deeper pockets and rich TV and film libraries. The streaming wars are here, and Netflix's dizzying valuation is being put to the test. But it's too soon to call the winners and losers yet. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 45, NASDAQ futures up 4, 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 1.70%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed now at $56.47 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.80 at 15.16.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0930, the yen 107.57. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.